Welcome to episode 1084 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, December 14th. This show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can always pick up Ohanaware at cafepress.com/OhanaStore. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up for tonight. Lots to chit-chat about. A huge stack of stuff and some fun topics, of course. But really to kick things off, a warm, 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 warm welcome to all the Ohana longtime listeners of the show. If you're brand new, we want you to take just a few minutes to get subscribed, and really all you got to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the links to subscribe in the sidebar of the website via iTunes, Android, email, via the RSS feed. Whatever makes you happy, you can get subscribed. That way you'll never miss a single episode of the show. You'll want to sign up for the newsletter while you're on the website as well. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during today's show. Send out an email form at the end of the show, of course, with a link back to the audio podcast. So again, get over to geeknewscentral.com to do that and get hooked up with us. Of course, you can always reach out to the show via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Twitter at geeknews. I'm on Facebook, Google+. Really, anywhere social media is, you can find me. You can watch this show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku or on your Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo. I tell Alexa to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can listen on blueberry.com, or you can even stream the show on Live 365 on the Geek News Central podcast channel over on Live 365. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Take Weekly with Jamie Davis, Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Elder Divide with Mr. Todd Ani. We've got the Pro Gear site at progear.guru. And lots of content that is just about ready to be unleashed upon all of you as we're getting ready to head off to the Consumer Electronics Show. So lots to talk about there and my upcoming trip. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our friends at GoDaddy.com. I'm going to tell you, GoDaddy has been with us here from the very, very, very beginning. Well, if you call, I guess, 9 months in, the beginning. But lots of great deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We've got 30% off on new products. We've got 99cent.coms. We've got $1 a month deals for 12 months on website builder, economy hosting, managed WordPress sites. It is almost Christmas time. And of course, Merry Christmas to everyone listening. And I'm going to tell you, this is the time to pick up a domain name. Maybe it's a family domain. Maybe it's your last name and some sort of a twist on it, or whatever variation. Put together a family blog, something that you can put memories in. And it doesn't even have to be public. It can be private. I do that myself with several of my sites. My family uses for putting pictures and a variety of different things up. We don't make it available to the public, but it's a great way for us to document stuff over time. That managed WordPress deal is perfect for that. And, you can get it set up in about 15 minutes and you get a free domain with that managed WordPress purchase. So a great way to get started. Again, all my promo codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I'll bring you to the webpage. That's where your savings begin. Lock my codes in. Share my codes. If you're a super fan, you'll share these with everyone that you know. If you even hear them talking about getting a website or a domain name or anything like that, send them my way. This is how we keep the lights on here, by keeping GoDaddy happy, by using the promo codes. So, everyone, thanks for your ongoing support of GoDaddy. Been here and keeping us alive and well for 10-plus years. Okay, so what is in my little stack here tonight that I want to talk about just shortly before we get into the content? And I got a great show lined up for you. Kind of excited to bring it to you and share with you. but going to be flying out tomorrow night and doing the red eye, going to Chicago, then transferring to Columbus. And then really the fun begins with three full, very, very full days of activities. Very, very important week. This is a big week. And then Friday afternoon, I will drive up to Michigan and spend the next 3 days with my mom and my sister and my nieces and nephews and my sister's husband. I guess that's a husband-in-law, whatever it is. And a brother-in-law, I guess that's what I'm supposed to say. And, geez, dumb. Anyway, you're going to have a good time. Then there's a party on Sunday. It's kind of a traditional party that my family has every year. It's open to more than just family, friends, people that we know. So if you're within striking distance of Quincy, Michigan, I want to invite you to the Cochran Christmas party. And we love to see you and love to chit-chat with you. Drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. I'll get you the address. Don't be afraid to drive a couple of hours. I guarantee you that we'll have some good spirits. And if you don't want spirits, we'll retire to the barn and maybe smoke a cigar or something to that effect. So anyway, just give a shout-out if you want to come hang out this coming Sunday. So with the show schedule, there is going to be no show on Thursday. That's the way it is. I fly back to Honolulu on Tuesday. So what I'm going to be doing is probably putting up some alternate content for you guys. I am going to put out a show next week, of course, but it's going to be a very, very short week next week. So I'll try to get that out on the 23rd. And, you know, I can't leave you go that long without a show, and wouldn't make the sponsors happy either. So there'll be something next week. It might be short, but it'll be fun, and hope that you'll look forward to that. Meanwhile, everything's tracking here. We're ready, really kind of, we're in the final stages of being able to get ready for CES. Matter of fact, when I'm at mom's house, I'm going to inventory all the gear, make sure we haven't missed anything. Bookings are going along. Going to be a lot of big names, a lot of car companies, a lot of big manufacturers. You know, Fortune 500 companies are going to be joining us for our live week of coverage, really starting on January 6th through the 9th. So that's four full days of content from the Consumer Electronics Show. We're even going to be trying to do remoting this year. In other words, we're going to have a team on the floor and we're going to try to remote video into the studio. We're really excited about trying that, seeing if it's going to work. I'm excited about giving it a run for its money. And with any luck, we can have that happen. It's going to take a lot of coordination and sliding people in and between interviews and everything that's going on. So we're excited about attempting it and being able to bring you some. And we'll actually try to schedule some of those live segments from the floor and have two or three products lined up to talk to you about in quick fire method. It should be a lot of fun. So that's, of course, coming that week of. And if you're all going to be back from vacation, there's no, you're at the Cube or if you're wherever you may be, there's going to be no excuse that week to not flip on the stream and watch us. We haven't just, live stream hasn't gotten back with us. I don't know if we're going to be using them as a streaming partner this year or not. I'm kind of disappointed that they haven't reached out. We've been trying to contact their marketing team and they're just, I don't know, I guess they don't want to play. So what we'll probably be doing is probably be using YouTube this year, YouTube Live, which is, you know, quite capable in itself. Haven't fully decided yet, but maybe that'll be the option. So it doesn't matter. You'll be able to go to tpn.tv to watch all the content anyway. Okay, so what else? I think that's it. That's all I have in my quick stack here. I'm going to get ready to move into the regular content. I'm just looking through and make sure everything's good. So again, big week here, and I'm packed. And matter of fact, my wife has got a whole second suitcase packed of stuff that I'm taking because she doesn't want to ship it. And she knows I'm going, so I'm going to take everything in the suitcase and take it to the family. So I'm traveling heavy this go around, but not surprising. It's pretty typical for how I roll around here. Okay, so let me go ahead and cover a couple things that happened on Geek News Central this week, then we'll get into the full stack of content. And I did I have anything from the audience that was actual linkable? I got an email from Christopher. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. So Christopher, hang to the end here, and I'll share with you some ideas. And I've also gotten some email that has come in from the Ohana as well. We'll cover that at the end of the show. So first thing up that the writing team at Geek News Central has been working on, Tom Wiles, Trucker Tom, did a Surface Pro 3 update. So definitely go through and read the article and give you some ideas behind his experience so far with the Surface Pro 3. And then there's an article by Andrew talking about Pantone, the color of 2016. And this year's, the color chosen as the color of years is a blend of two, Rose Quartz and Serenity. And Pantone says, as customers seek mindfulness and well-being as an antidote to modern-day stresses, welcoming colors that physiologically fulfill our yearning for reassurance and security are becoming more prominent. So that is the color of the year from Pantone. Ancestry.com announced a shift to be able to shut down Family Tree Maker. I'm an Ancestry.com subscriber. I use it to do research on family matters. And so I don't know what this means for me, really, to be honest with you, with them shutting down Family Tree Maker. If that means that what I think it does, I'm not going to be super happy about it. And may affect my choices in using these folks. But anyway, January 1st is when they're going to shut the Family Tree Maker portion of it down. Also, one of our team members wrote an article on Heroku 2. Please be aware that there are multiple versions of the Heroku out. Heroku 3 is available as well. But Andrew is writing a primary for the UK crowd as well. But anyway, Roku 2 review up on the website. And then talking about YouTube set to carry the Nobel Prize show with Jay Leno and more. So there are a few events that are bigger and more important. There are few events that are bigger and more important than the Nobel Prize Awards ceremony. And the YouTube is working to give credit to those who do the most important work on research, disease, figuring out complicated economy, and so forth. So they're going to have Jay Leno's going to be hosting it. So that's going to be interesting. And so anyway, very, very cool stuff here coming to YouTube. So that's just a few of the articles are written by the Geek News Central team, continuing to put out great content for all of you to follow on the website. Okay, let's see here. Let me bust this down and move this up. Too many windows in progress here. And I'm a little upset. What is the story with UPS? I have like three packages that were supposed to deliver today. And let me refresh here and see what the UPS page says. They're still showing a delivery for today. It says in transit. It's on time, but it's not out for delivery. And the scheduled delivery is today, Monday, 12/14/2015, between 1 and 5 p.m. and it's now 8:15 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. I don't think my package is coming. And it was an important package that we were going to test on the show today, and it is not here. Are you guys seeing delays in UPS stuff too? I'm hearing there are massive delays, that UPS is missing, FedEx is missing, all kinds of delivery time frames. So pay attention to your packaging, especially if you're paying for shipping, because you can get your discounts back and get money back for stuff that they don't make on time. They're just not, they've been slammed and they weren't ready, especially folks on the West Coast. And part of that West Coast group that is having stuff delayed. So if you're going to order something for Christmas, you better get to it like now. And if you wanted to guarantee it to be there, especially if you're ordering on Amazon, I'm seeing stuff that's showing, you know, pretty wide delivery dates of like 6 or 7 days all the way up to Christmas Eve. So if you want to get something there quick, you're probably going to have to bump up the priority and pay a little more for that to get to you. Today was a big day. The FAA announced drone owners must register by February 19, 2016. They can't start registering, though, until December 21st. So regulation of drones in the hands of, they're calling us now, civilian pilots. Jack, I know you're laughing. We're all civilian pilots, so they're trying to make us into a new category. The Federal Aviation Administration announced that all units weighing between 0.55 pounds and 50 pounds must be registered by February 19, 2016. Anyone caught flying without a proper registration after that date could face stiff penalties. The FAA says civil penalties include a fine up to $27,500 and 2 years in jail. Oh, or up to... The criminal penalties include a fine up to $250,000 and 3 years in jail. So you're going to, first month, the register's for free. After that, it's going to be $5 per drone. And you have to have some tagging on your drone to say, you know, basically you have to have your name and telephone number. I don't know if they're going to give you a registration number or not, but it sounds like that is coming. At the same time, Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, is urging the FAA on its new requirements that drone users pay a fee and register devices with the federal government, but he wants more. He says that they should go further with its effort to regulate non-military drones. He says the FAA's effort to register drones is a positive step for accountability and oversight, but much more needs to be done to address drone dangers, he said in a statement. The FAA needs to combine today's announcement with effective enforcement, holding anyone accountable who threatens air safety. Congress, he goes on to say, must act swiftly, empowering FAA even further with more authority, tools, and resources to safeguard our skies from increasing dangers of these new devices, like requiring clear, enforceable operational restrictions that will keep these drones away from airports, manned aircraft, public areas, and critical infrastructure. We must also require the installation of fail-safe technology in the manufacturing process so it's possible for owners to misuse these powerful devices. So he wants them all governed. He wants them limited. Limited range, limited altitude. He wants it to be built into the software. But, you know, here's where people are kind of like laughing about this, because this could literally be a million drones, maybe more. So what's being said here is that a drone weighing 0.55 pounds, that's a toy, which probably can't go very high, up to a 50-pound drone has to be registered. We can kind of understand the 50-pound drone. But it's really pretty unworkable if you think about it. The cheaper drones typically will only fly about 200 feet up or 200 feet away. And the reality is that below 83 feet, from your where you own on your property to 83 feet, you own that airspace. So again, the airspace is under the control of the person who owns the land from ground level to 83 feet. And from 83 feet to 400 feet, the FAA has very questionable authority. And since this is the area that almost every non-commercial drone will operate in, it's unlikely that its new registration rule is worth the paper it's printed on. So what this is really for is for the dude that is flying within 5 miles of an airport, flying higher than 400 feet, that is abusing the rules. This is who this is. These rules are going after the abusers. Now, people have 30 days to send their comments to the FAA over these new rules. So possibly in order to prevent a wave of critical online comment, again, it has yet to post the rules on the RegulationGov website. They should go up next week for 30 days. In the meantime, if you have issues with what they're doing here, you can send a letter to the U.S. Department of Transportation in Washington. So it is a kind of an interesting impact. Now, okay, so you're flying. Let's say you're at 500 feet. Okay? Well, does that mean 500 feet above sea level or 500 feet above the ground? Because where I'm at right now, I'm already 1,100 or 1,200 feet above sea level. So I'm really flying, if you really want to consider it, at like 1,500 or 1,600 feet, right? So, and it's AGL or MGL, you know, that's basically the kind of the term that they use. But we, you know, from a drone operator standpoint, it's going to be 400 feet above the ground. But, you know, that guy flying somewhere, say, oh, that thing was too high. How can they, you know, how are they going to be able to prove that you were above 400 feet? You know, that's the question I have. How are they going to prove that? And it's easy on that 5 mile radius thing. But then again, they don't have radar that can detect these things. So, you know, we'll see. And again, it's largely for the abusers. But these are some really insane rules that parents now, they're buying their kids a little drone, a little $25 drone for Christmas, is going to have to register the drone with the FAA and put a sticker on it with their registration information. I posted a couple things on Facebook that got some good commentary. And one of the things I posted on Facebook was about social media and the U.S. government, specifically U.S. Department of Homeland Security and Immigration Naturalization Service, ICE, and their ability to vet people that are coming into the United States. We already know in the news that the jihadist, the female jihadist, was talking about jihad on her Facebook profile or some social media site prior to being vetted to come to the United States. And I made the offhand comment earlier in the weekend basically saying, I bet you that ICE and Homeland Security don't even look at social media. Well, it turns out today there was an article published that says the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is working on a plan to scrutinize media posts as part of its visa application process before certain people are allowed entry into the nation, a person familiar with the matter said. The move is part of a new focus on the use of social media networks following the shooting rampage in San Bernardino. Why don't they say following the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, California? So currently, Department of Homeland Security only looks at these postings intermittently, and it's part of a 3 pilot program that began in earnest early this year. So it appears that this husband and wife team had been talking a lot about this publicly on Facebook, yet they didn't know. So how is it that we live in a day and age post 9/11 when someone is trying to get a visa into the United States, that we only look at the basic background information? We look at their birth certificate, financial stability, ability to support someone in the country they're going to be sponsored in. You know, just a handful, like a physical, you get an interview, do you know this person you're going to come and marry? You know, all these questions. But they haven't been really looking at social media footprints up to this point. How is that even possible post 9/11? A Department of Homeland spokesperson confirmed to Gizmodo by email that the agency is actively considering additional ways to vet people through social media posts. Okay, so now you're going to, okay, so up to this point, they obviously have only been doing it a little bit or none at all. And number two, now they're going to say, okay, now we're going to do it. What is that going to do? So, you know, instead of keeping their mouth shut and actually doing it and letting people speculate, so now we're going to look at social media profiles. That wasn't so smart. That really wasn't so smart. But what can you say, right? makes you go, just a little bit. Yes, it does. You know, and I'm laughing at Homeland Security in a very, you know, in a, actually, in a, like, I can't believe how stupid they really are, you know, away. You know, they should have been looking at this stuff before. You know, please, my goodness. All right, switching gears here off of that depressing and very, very sad topic. Here's the Mercedes-Benz is coming to the United States with Apple CarPlay in 2016. Despite being announced over a year ago, it's taken some time for automakers to include Apple's CarPlay, the tech giant's connectivity software, in their respective infotainment systems. According to dealership memo leaked the C450AMG.net, CarPlay will be limited to just a few models in the lineup and only certain variants thereof built after a specific date. Now, so I'm not a Mercedes. I don't claim to be a Mercedes expert whatsoever. But if you're going to order a B-Class, E-Class, a coupe and convertible, no sedan, CLA class, GLA class, CLS class, and GLE class, coupe and standard, will have Apple CarPlay included. Built after December 1st, and the GLE requires a build date after January 8th. Each model has a different requirement to procure it. $350 for a standalone upgrade. And then for the E-Class folks, holy smoke, is going to require, holy cow, it's going to require a $4,000 premium package. $4,000 to get Apple CarPlay into a Mercedes-Benz? Okay, you Mercedes drivers out there, I know you guys own Macs, but really? $4,000? Holy cow. All right, $350, we're good, right? That's a standard kind of add-on price. But $4,000? Oh, and you have to have an iPhone 5 or newer. So I guess if you can afford the 4K, for the premium package, that thing ought to just like coax you. Should turn on the music, and it should just kind of like massage you. You should have tingly feelings all over your body for that $4,000 premium package. Oh man, I do not live that life. No, I do not. So I have to congratulate Atlassian on its IPO. And it's holding $27. So it's, you know, $6 above its public IPO. So, you know, very, very good on them. And for doing what they've done. Fantastic. The most interesting video I think I've seen all week, and this is something that really kind of made me go, wow, is a BBC article that talks about how one woman made what's called a tricorder. Yes, there is definitely a little twist on words there, and we all know what that is, but could change medicine. And I did not realize that we are at such a point, but this device essentially is using, oh, I don't want this to play, is a device, let's see if I can scroll ahead here to where in the video it showed it. I don't know if it's going to let me do that or not. But anyway, it's a device now that just through a small blood sample, within seconds, can determine if a person is HIV positive, can test for Ebola, can test for a handful of commonly known pathogens. And it can do that through DNA. And it's really, and again, I don't have the complete details on how it does what it does, but this particular device, in my opinion, is going to change medicine. Again, they called it the tricorder, in the same vein as a multi-purpose medical tool used in Star Trek. And if you watch the 5-minute video or 4-minute video, I guarantee you, you're not going to be disappointed in what they have accomplished here. And what this, I think she's a physicist, has been able to really come up with something amazing. And they're using DNA to detect disease. And I think this is amazing. You know, we're coming into a time. We're coming into a time where they're going to be doing a lot more gene manipulation. They're going to cure us from some of these bad diseases by bioengineering. It's going to happen. You can see it already. If they can take a sample, a blood sample, and within just a few minutes process that and tell someone whether or not they're HIV positive or not, or tell if they have Ebola, use that in the field instead of having to send off the blood test to a lab and, you know, wait for 2 weeks and a very expensive results to come back. And they can just do it by some processing the blood work. It's really, it makes me like, holy smokes, this is really incredible and where we're headed. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You got to watch the video. And I'm sure I have oversimplified, but the video made me go like, that's it? That's all they have to do? So it's really, really cool. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check it out. All right, moving on here. 20 best new apps of 2015. According to Gizmodo, these are the top 20 that you should be paying attention to and you probably should have on your device. So let me run through these really quick. The first one is Layout. Number two is Outlook. People love that email client on the mobile devices. Periscope is number three. Apple Music, number four. VHS Recorder. And I kind of thought, okay, really? And it's basically a simple app that doesn't need much describing. It makes video on your phone look like it was shot on some really crappy camcorder from the 80s. It's not revolutionary, but fun. $4 on iOS. Cortana, free for iOS and Android. MakerBot Print Shop, free for iOS, iPad. Google Photos. Star Wars Card Trader. Dark Room. So these are filters for images. Arrow Launcher. And it's, this is from Microsoft Garage. And again, it's for Android only. Arrow Launcher wants to put your most used info front and center so you can get in and get out of your phone as fast as possible. HBO Now. Giphy Cam. So animated piece of internet gold or Giphy business, and business is good. That's why they've launched Giphy Cam, a comprehensive app that lets you create and share the perfect GIF. So GIF building is alive and well. Droop is another one. So Droop is, so on a given day, I might call, text, FaceTime, WhatsApp, Messenger, and Instagram my best friend. That's a lot of tapping, hunting for the right apps and navigating your UI. Droop does away with all that by building a super simple contact app. That's much more than a contact app. It keeps track of your top contacts in one column with popular messaging apps in another. So you simply slide the contact icon over the icon of the platform you want to use. Droop opens up the right app with the right chat already selected. It's time saving. Okay. Eve is another one for ladies to track your cycle. And then there is Samsung Pay, they're recommending. DSKO is another. It's basically another, looks like another gift type builder. And then there's Robinhood, launched back in 2014, and it was on a limited invite system. Robinhood is now public available for Android and iOS. It's one of the most interesting app ideas. Robinhood tries to take some of the scariness out of stock trading with a super simple interface and zero commission trading. So if you want to give stock buying a try, you can do so via Robinhood. Then Enlight is an image enhancer. YouTube Gaming, and that's the list. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. A number of apps here that I have never even tried or been associated with ever before, so I'll be taking a quick peek myself. By the way, did everyone see the intro to the next Independence Day movie. Did you guys see it yet? We're going to get schwacked in that movie. It's definitely going to be a good one, and we're going to have to figure out who saves the day. Of course, a few of our favorite characters will not be back because they got killed in the last movie. So we'll see what happens, but should be a pretty exciting a summer as far as movies go. I know all of you have already got your Star Wars ticket spot. And it's a big time. It's big time in the movie biz right now for sure. And so exciting, exciting, exciting. Okay, so XPRIZE has launched a $7 million competition to explore the ocean depths. So the XPRIZE Foundation again launched another global competition. This time is aimed at exploring and mapping the depths of the ocean floor. And they're giving all kinds of cool prizes based on some interesting criteria. And the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration even came in with $1 million for a team that can successfully sniff out the source of an established biological or chemical signal underwater. So that's kind of an interesting move. But anyway, it's about $7 million, and they've got to make... submersibles that go from 1.24 to 2.5 miles. They don't, and I'm sure there's a lot more rules, but this is cool. It should be interesting to watch how it plays out. For those of you that are PlayStation fans, PlayStation exec actually said the first party game lineup was not as strong in 2015. Long-serving PlayStation boss has acknowledged a big reliance on third-party partnerships and looks forward to a PlayStation VR in its 2016 lineup. And, of course, Sony is planning on releasing its virtual reality headset, PlayStation VR, to consumers next year. And I'll be honest with you, we did get a PlayStation 4 for my youngest for Christmas. And we've had to go to great lengths to keep it hid, to the point where I almost had to hide it off site because I caught him snooping around in the garage the other day. So I put it in the attic, and it's hid in the attic. We had to hide it really, really good. And but anyway, I know he's going to be totally excited. I'm going to include a few games. So a few of you that are PlayStation 4 users, so I got a 12-year-old. What are two games I should buy to go along with it? So I'll leave it. I'm not a gamer. And I'm sure my 18-year-old's choice and will be much different than what I would want to have my 12-year-old to be exposed to. But love to hear your suggestions. For you that are PlayStation 4 users, okay? You don't have to be real quiet here. All right, NASA is now accepting applications for its astronaut program. So if you want to be a space explorer, you're one step closer to quitting your day job. NASA is now accepting applications for for the first time since 2011. And if you think you have what it takes to break free of the bonds of Earth, you can apply online at USA Jobs, and applications will be accepted through February 18th. So there are some stringent requirements that applicants must meet. So if you have what it takes, go fill out that application. Gotta admit, that would be one cool job, right? Gotta be fit. You gotta be smart. Gotta be quick on your feet. Gotta be mentally aware. All those things. I think the keyword really there is smart and physically fit. All right, buy a $30 Chromecast and Google will give you $20 in Google Play Store credit. So you can pick up one from Best Buy or even Walmart, and you can get the $20 rebate later. So I don't think you can buy them online. I think you have to go to Best Buy or Walmart to get one, okay? very, very cool image that Cassini picked up. And it's when Saturn's moons have aligned. And this is awesome. Wait till you see this. So this is almost perfect. It's almost a perfect photo. And we've seen all kinds of cool stuff. But they were in the right spot at the right time and snapped a cool. It's just awesome. It really, really is. I have the link up in the show notes for those of you who are listening. So if you got a small moon and a big moon, and you see, you're basically looking across the rings. It is stunning. It really, really is. But it was snapped on September 24th, so it just recently has been released. Very, very cool stuff. All right, CNET has a real nice 4-minute and 50-second video talking about see the tech moments that blew their minds in 2015. A lot of the stuff that's in this video was covered during this show in one detail or another. So as they describe it, dynamic, decisive, and occasionally downright dangerous, the Tech World 215 was giving us plenty to enjoy and plenty to think about. So another great 4 minutes and 50 seconds taken on memory lane of what has happened in 2015. Now, one thing we all, how many of you have regifted? Raise your hand. I just got a text from my son. I accidentally got on the wrong bus in Kapolei, so I'm going to be a little late. LMFAO. I know what you guys all know what that means. So really, when my kid got on the wrong bus in Kapolei, that means he's either going more to the west side or he's headed back towards town instead of up the hill. So yeah, what a knucklehead. All right. We've all regifted, right? Well, John Oliver has offered sneaky tricks for regifting unwanted presents. You know, you've got that present that someone was dying to give you, and you open it up, and you smile, say thank you, and you're kind of looking at the gift, and you put it in the pile graciously, and you get home, and you know that gift is never, ever going to be opened. And you're automatically thinking, how can I get rid of this thing? Well, he gives you some tips on regifting. Sure, it's lazy, but most people have done it. And he gives you some tips on not to be a total jerk in regifting. Pretty funny video. So anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes. So if you've gotten one of those grab bag ones from a party, go ahead, regift it, right? All right, 6 sneak peeks that give you a taste of what CES will be all about. And there's going to be a new rival to Tesla that's going to be opening up and displaying a car. Faraday is going to be there. Their future electric car. I'm trying to get into their exclusive announcement, so I'm hoping to be there for that. Marathon's laundry washer dryer. Yes, combo unit. So that's going to be exciting. That's really, really cool. Of course, LG's 77-inch 4K TV is going to be there. Curved. So we're going to have to go check that out. And then there's going to be a demonstration of real-time 4K TV broadcasting, which is cool, which is a new U.S. broadcast standard being from a local TV transmitter. And then, of course, some of the cool players are going to be out there. Is the Marshall London audio player that is looking to be pretty incredible. We're going to have all kinds of fitness bands, you name it, it's going to be going on, of course. A lot of trackers and different types of stuff. So I think we're going to have a lot of cool stuff to share with you at CES. I know that I'm getting about 50 emails a day. We're probably rolling in about 10 applications to be on our live broadcast a day. It's really going to be awesome. I'm really being picky too. I'm turning away probably a third of the people that are applying for broadcast spots just because it's kind of which is, it's a little nervous because I'm not filling my spots as fast as I normally do, but I would rather have quality than the quantity. And we'll fill them. It's just I'm going to fill them as we can and make sure that we get good candidates in there. And then we'll start reaching out to companies soon as we get a little closer to the show. All right, Japanese universities have banned all watches from exams. That should not come as a surprise. They're trying to make sure no smartwatches make it through. Also, NASA now is offering a rare, this is very cool, steady view of the sunlit Earth. And what they've done is they positioned a satellite out in a transition area called L1. And what that is it's halfway between, well, not halfway. It's a distance where the gravitational pull of the Earth and the sun is equal. So it pulls the satellite along in position. And so the satellite is always pointed at the daylight side of Earth. It's not, and it basically every 2 hours it takes a snap. So it's pretty awesome. It really, really is. It's a unique way, and it really the only people that have been able to see this in the past are like astronauts. You know, when astronauts went to the moon, between the moon and they'd see the Earth turning. But this is awesome. Link will be up in the show notes on this, and you can watch the video. So they're saying a lot of scientists are going to be able to be derived from that. All right, tomorrow morning, if you are awake. And I don't know if the launch actually went down on the resupply. I think it actually did. But three new astronauts will be heading to the International Space Station on Tuesday. You're going to have a launch. It's at 6:03 Eastern, so just a few hours from now, we're going to have a launch to the International Space Station. So it's basically from time of launch to time of docking is about 6 hours. So it's one of those fast trips up. But link will be up in the show notes for you tonight. If you listen to the show and you are awake, you can watch the launch. The RIAA has won a huge judgment against Groove Shark clones and been awarded like $13 million. Now, if they're able to collect it, that's another thing. But there's been a bunch of sites that basically took this Groove Shark software and relaunched sites of their own. There was lots of clones out there, and they got the slam down today by a judge. So it's not surprising at all. All right, in Japan, they're beefing up their security in specific government buildings after a drone of radioactive material landed on the roof of the prime minister's house a few months ago. Their solution, bigger drones hauling giant nets can catch aerial trespassers. Now, they have to be ready to launch at a moment's notice if they're going to try to, you know, catch a drone with one of these nets. So I think it's a little bit of a publicity stunt. And they do show you the video of a capture, but I would think that if I was a drone operator and I could see my drone and saw this thing coming, I would just like, with a camera on board, there'd be no reason why not to evade. But anyway, it shows what the police are got planned in Japan for intrusion of the drones. There's a good article on TechDirt linking to a whole bunch of open source artificial intelligence initiatives. Everything from Facebook, Google, to DARPA, all the way down to the OpenAI project. Links on each of those projects. So if you're interested in artificial intelligence, I'll have a link up for you. Of course, at the end of the year, there's always kinds of cool articles coming out that are doing year in review. But there's an article about 76 viral images from 2015 that were totally fake. I'll have that linked up for you to take a peek at. Are you still recording YouTube videos directly from your webcam? Well, YouTube is axing direct video uploads from webcams. They say the feature was rarely used, and they're removing it. It's going to be gone. So, you know, it's been around for years, and it really kind of debuted around the same time that Google, I think, bought YouTube. But anyway, it's you used to be able to record right from your webcam straight to your YouTube channel. But they say it's not being used very much anymore, so it's gone. One thing that I found interesting, and my wife has been using a great deal, is Google Maps and finding alternate routes. There's not a lot of alternate routes here in Hawaii, but in the morning when we get ready to take the kids to school, you know, we punch up the school address, and as we're going down the hill heading towards the freeway, we have two choices. So the app has been telling us, okay, do either get on the highway or go down this alternate route. And sometimes it saves us as much as 15 or 16 minutes, depending on the traffic. Sometimes it's a wash and it's even like it was this morning. So today, Google updated its Google Maps app for iOS with a slew of new features. So you're going to be able to see up-to-date gas prices while searching for gas stations. You're going to you'll be able to download offline maps. So if you get into an area with not a lot of connectivity, you can do that. They've got some underground parking garage mapping as well. What else have they added? Until now, iOS users could only view areas of a map offline. Again, now they can get turn-by-turn driving directions, search for specific destinations. All of this has been on the Android already, but also the iOS app now includes popular business hours in addition to seeing when a store is open, which is available for a while for iOS users, can now see busiest times of the week at millions of places and businesses. Last but not least, you now can... So talk about gas prices. So very, very cool update to Google Maps. They are really saving us time. It's even more effective than Waze. Waze doesn't tell me alternate routes. Waze only tells me, where the traffic is, and it doesn't show me. And Google Maps is telling us which way shorter. And because we know all the back streets too, we kind of even do some improvisation on that. So the drug dealers of the world are always looking for innovative ways to get by the police authorities or the drug enforcement agency, or depending on the country. But apparently, they've gotten more creative. And I have to admit, this was a good one. But they got caught. Smugglers busted with nearly $400 million worth of cocaine molded into shipping pallets that actually had bags of charcoal on top of them, which were also partially cocaine. I have no idea how they did this or how this is even possible, but let me just run this by you guys. So they made these pallets out of cocaine and used chemicals, all kinds of stuff to get it to bind together, glue and all kinds of interesting materials. So let's say that this stuff had gotten through and gotten into the people that were going to convert this back into coke. So people are snorting this stuff, and it came in as a pallet with a, you know, it's bad enough, the chemical process that is used to make cocaine, but then to hide it in a form that looks like a pallet. Yes, a wood pallet, but it wasn't a wood pallet. It was a cocaine pallet. That has to be... If you think about that, they're really going to be able to turn this, what it looks like to be brown wood, into coke that people snort? There is something seriously wrong. The deviant mind that thought that up, and even worse still, the thought of that being reverse processed and turned into something they can sell on the street. Wow. It's amazing. It really is amazing. Now, in December, I always try to get more sleep, because I know that I'm going to be hammered the entire time I'm in Vegas, just because the assault on the senses. As a matter of fact, I'm late getting my flu shot, and probably too late to get it this year. But I try to sleep a lot, just to kind of keep the stress down, you know, and get a few hours. Not a lot, but a few extra hours. Well, it turns out that humans sleep a lot less than any other primate. By a massive amount. Of course, my daughter, on the other hand, she can probably match primate sleep cycles. But some primates sleep up to 17 hours. I don't know too many humans that can do that. I know some kids that can sleep 12 and 13 hours. But I don't remember the last time I slept 12 hours. Well, I did once this year. That was, you know, it's pretty amazing. Didn't come up for air even once during that entire 12 hours. But 17 hours, that's an amazing number. Can you imagine? So, first of all, you'd wake up feeling like someone had beat you up, I think. Twitter is warning users of state-sponsored hacking. Twitter sent a warning message. A small number of users it suspects have come under attack from state-sponsored hackers. And it actually lays out the message they were sent. I'm impressed. It's good on Twitter to have done this and keep their users informed when you know some foreign entity is trying to look at their account and get IP and email information and phone numbers and that kind of stuff. So very, very, very cool. Hey, NASA is using PlayStation VR to train its space robots. So this is kind of cool. And they got a demo video. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. And of course, we know PlayStation VR is coming soon. So NASA got access to it a little earlier. The UK police are trying a new thing. They're trying to scare teen hackers by visiting them at home. So as you probably know, most teenagers, they think they know everything. And they also have a pretty big ego and loads of peer pressure. So when UK does police do track something back to a specific user, I just bumped my nose on the mic, they do a house visit and have a little chat with the parents and the young perpetrator, and hoping that this is going to keep these young teens from really getting in trouble. I don't know about you, but back in the day, if the police would have came knocking on my parents' doors and said, Mr. and Mrs. Cochran, we'd like to come in and talk to you. Is Todd here? And they would say, yes. Well, we'd like to have him in the conversation too. Can you imagine mom and dad on one side of you and you in the middle and the police on the other side of the table talking about your hacking escapades? I think in most modern families that after that visit went down, there would be hell to pay. So I think this is a good thing by the UK police that are making a visit to the parents and the kids and having a little sit down chat about their online activities. That is proactive policing, which will result in proactive parenting. My father probably would have used, well, this is a back scratcher, but the other side is a pretty effective corporal punishment tool. He probably would have applied some corporal punishment and then probably smashed a computer if it existed back in the day, or at least taken it away and locked it up. And then I wouldn't have known life could be that miserable for the next 90 days or so. But good on the UK for doing that. That's instead of coming and arresting them, having a little chat with mom and dad. Really good. All right, switching gears here. Hey, Netflix plans to cut its bandwidth. So they're working on different encoding techniques with media. And I tell you, that's a big struggle I've had here in being able to encode this show down small enough. And there's techniques that obviously I don't know about. If you are a video guru, I'd love to talk with you. Because my challenge is every time I get done with the show, hour, 10 minutes, by making it 640 by 360, about the smallest I can make is about 800 megs. And there's got to be a more way to squeeze more out of that and still have it on H.264. So if you're good at encoding and getting the most bang for the buck, love to talk to you about that. So Gizmodo's been working on doing just that, and some videos don't need to be as high encoding rates as others and so forth. Apple's been on a buying spree. They paid $18.2 million for 70,000 square foot building. It was basically a chip manufacturer. So they picked up that building, and I guess they're going to be doing a little R&D on the inside. So Trump change for old Apple, $18.2 million to buy a property. New Toyota Prius has been announced, And today marks the very first time that the initial batch of Toyota Priuses rolled off the Japanese automotive giant's production line in the land of rising sun. So far, things look rather dapper for Toyota, as their order book said to be filled. And they're looking to hit volumes of 300,000 to 350,000 vehicles per year on the new Prius release. And also, I must say that my wife's nephew got married in Japan this past weekend. They already had a child, but they decided to... He basically made an honest woman out of her. And they got married in a lavish wedding this past, actually yesterday. So congratulations to them. All right, I've been seeing this story all over the place, and I thought it was a joke. But a solar farm apparently has been rejected, not only for the reason given. And basically, the reason given, it was due to fears of it sucking up the sun's energy. But apparently, in Woodland, North Carolina, they had a bunch of worries about a solar farm coming in. They would reduce home values, would limit photosynthesis, would cause some undue effect to the citizens. So they actually turned down a proposal to build a solar farm in their community. I just find that one a little weird, but... I guess in the society we live today, people will protest anything if they think it's going to cause them any undue harm whatsoever. A solar farm. Okay. Finally tonight, Dell is looking to sell Pro Systems for more than $5 billion to raise cash for the EMC deal. So we'll see where they go here. They're able to sell Pro Systems or not. Most of you probably don't know who Ross Perot was. From Perot Systems. Many of you may know who he is. But anyway, they're looking to unload that. Okay, so from email today that came in, got an email from one of our listening fans, Christopher. He said, good morning, Todd. In a distant past, I remember you putting out an invitation to writers for the website. I'm curious, is there a minimum requirement that your writers must produce, or do they function more like freelance writers? I'm also curious if you're constantly accepting new writers' articles. The reason I ask is if someone such as myself were interested in writing for the website, would we simply submit an article for your consideration? It's Christopher. It's real simple. I don't direct. I don't tell them what to write. I do feed articles for their consideration. They're under no obligation to write a certain number of articles a month. I do put caps. On writing at times, depending on the budget I have available to spend for the writers. But sure, I'd love to, bring folks from within the show onto the blogging staff. The team's been pretty active right now. It kind of goes and I don't pressure them. It goes in waves. You know, sometimes they're all writing at the same time. Sometimes they're not writing at the same time. Sometimes it's a good mix. It kind of goes up on the website as it does, and I don't really, I'm not putting a thumb on anybody. But, if I see it a little slow, sometimes I'll feed a few more feeder articles that might be worthy of consideration. But, submit me a, you don't even have to submit a full article. Just submit me some topics that you're interested in, and we can, and if you want to submit a sample article, that's fine. And if I decide to bring you on, I'll just go ahead and you can use that as your first post beyond the introduction post that we have all our writers do. But thank you for your consideration and being a contributor here at Geek News Central. This is the way I like to do it. And thank you for your service as well. Okay. Got an email from Greg. And let me take a little shot of H2O here. And he says, this is a email, was entitled, a subject line of reaction to possible laws requiring backdoors. He says, hey, Todd, I have a strong opinion about encryption. It is impossible to guarantee that just the good guys have a backdoor. For one thing, the good guys can as easily become the bad guys with a change of administration or a bad apple or a sufficient bribe, threat, or blackmail. Encryption is math and can't be completely eliminated. In my opinion, encryption is a fundamental tool for ensuring freedom of speech, privacy, and freedom of association. We live in a connected world. The petty laws of a single country can be circumvented for people who truly care about their freedom and privacy. However, you didn't ask if I thought such a law would be ethical. You asked what I'd do. I would not vote for any representative that supported such a misguided law, but I'd continue to use the encryption options provided by my operating system. Realistically, nobody cares about an insignificant person like me. I just use encryption to safeguard my data from strangers who might find or steal my devices, and for those purposes, a backdoor isn't likely to matter. Thanks for the news, Greg. Yeah, Greg, it's complicated, and I agree. Good guys can become bad guys. But, you know, having led an interesting life, I think if you think about, let's talk about the United States. And I've said this before, and I know that some people don't agree with me, but the folks that are working at agencies that would have access to back doors are typically your neighbors, people that you associate with today, neighbors that have been vetted, that have made sure that there is nothing in their background where they can be blackmailed, have went through not only, well, let's just say they went through extensive polygraph test and a variety of background checks to make sure that they're of a character that can be trusted to do rightly of materials that they're given access to. So that being said, is there a risk of the good guys becoming the bad guys? Sure. Could there be a change in administration? Well, we know there's always going to be a change in administration. At least, you know, at a minimum, every 8 years, we're going to have a new executive administration. So, or at a maximum, I guess the minimum 4 years, maximum of 8 years. So, you know, I don't know. I think that we're in a tough situation at this point. And I know that the FBI is complaining about being able to not be able to access data on people's cell phones. You know, there's already Supreme Court rulings that I cannot be forced to unlock my iPhone. They can try to get it unlocked themselves through brute force or whatever means they feel necessary. But I don't think that, well, I know Apple and probably Android as well went high and right because they didn't like people being accessed data that they shouldn't. I don't know. It's a tough thing. It really is when you want to try to catch the bad guys and then at the same time you want to maintain our constitutional rights. It's almost like one, you can't have one or the other. You know, I don't know. It's tough. And I understand the importance of trying to catch bad guys too. We don't want what's happened to San Bernardino to happen again. And but if we're willing to have those type of incidents take place and maintain the level of, you know, if the federal government can't get access to my phone because Apple's encrypted it, you know, if we're willing to pay the price of more San, you know, I know people say that's scare tactic, but, you know, maybe that's the truth. I don't know. I don't know. What do you get? It's a tough topic, yeah? It really is. One hand, you're like, encrypt. And the other hand is catch the bad guys. And we want both. But can we have both at the same time? I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so. So what is Congress going to do? It's hard to say. So again, good topic. Thanks for the email. I appreciate it. And boy, I understand completely your thought process. What do you else think? geeknews@gmail.com. Want to hear from you. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap. And again, I want to thank all of you for being here. I hope you're having a great period. I know it's time for like work parties and friends getting together and eating too much and drinking and yeah, you know, the whole thing. It goes along with the holidays, indulging a little bit more than we normally do. And I hope that your credit cards aren't getting hurt too bad. I'll be back with you for sure next week with another show. But I definitely want to say Merry Christmas early to you. And I'm as you're having Happy Hanukkah and everything that else goes on. So I do appreciate all of you for being part of the Ohana here and being part of my family. So be safe. We'll see you in about a week here at Geek News Central. It's been my pleasure bringing the show today. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.